Thank you, Nair Pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. That choir special this morning would even make an atheist shout hallelujah. I'll tell you, I enjoyed the music today. I always do. And we appreciate Brother Randy's ministry. You know, somebody says to me the other day, said, you know, every service we have dynamic music. I'm going to tell you something else about this feller. If you think he sings good, you ought to hear him preach. We'll have him preach one of these days. I'm really impressed with the way both of our sons and grandson preach the gospel. But Brother Randy, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't get on your toes, he stepped on your nose. All right. Glenda, we're glad to have you with us today from down in Texas. We've been trying to get her to move to Oklahoma. You've been down there in that pagan country long enough. And you need to move up here into the promised land. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Visitors, we're so happy to have you in our services today. You know, we understand you could have chosen to worship anywhere in town, but you came here, and we're glad you're here. Sweet time for remembrance. For we know that our earthen house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And then in Psalms 116, verse 15, listen to what the psalmist said. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Father, bless us now as we minister thy word, Lord, that we might lift high the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. And then, Lord, we pray that if there's one here without Christ, that this would be the day they'd accept him as Savior. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend, and each of us here this morning understand that it's more than just a holiday. It's a time to remember those who gave their lives serving our country, and also a time to remember our loved ones who have preceded us into eternity. And you know, it's both a sad and a glad day. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord for the Christian. And it seems to me that now as I mature, and I'm not going to ever grow old, I'm just going to be matured. But it seems to me that I have so many friends on the other side that I'm getting anxious and can't hardly wait until I get to join up again with them again and rejoice through eternity with them again. But I'm going to hold out too, if possible, if God will allow, for the rapture. I'd like to be around here when the rapture takes place because, you know, for 50 years I've been preaching that Jesus is coming again, and I just want to see the expression on the faces of those who didn't believe what we were preaching. Boy, are they ever going to be surprised. And you say, well, Brother Chick, you almost act like you're rejoicing. Oh, no, 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 no. I want them in heaven with us. But you know, after you carry the gospel to them so many times, sometimes you almost get weary in well-doing. But you know, Paul said we're not to do that. We're just to keep on keeping on. Amen. Now, for me, this day is also a time to remember the great soldiers of Christ that are with the Lord. those who I've had the privilege of serving with. Somebody said the other day, well, it doesn't seem the soldiers of the cross are still as strong as they used to be. If you feel that way, you're at the wrong church. Because we have troopers today that are serving the Lord without fear or favor. They just keep on keeping on. And when Jesus said, occupy until I come, that's exactly what they're doing at Bible Baptist Church here in Enid, Oklahoma. That's our mission, and that's our responsibility. So this date can be a time of solemn remembrance, but also a time of rejoicing. Yes, we'll miss those who've gone on before. And I do. My grandson and his lovely wife took Grandpa and Grandma Chick to Alba to our parents' grave this week. And as I stood there on that old cemetery hill, I looked down at my father-in-law and mother-in-law's grave, and they're close to my mother and dad. And I looked down, and I had to reminisce for just a few minutes. What a joy it was to have them with me. What a thrill it was to have them and me to be part of their family. But you know, even though my heart was saddened a little bit, there was an unspeakable joy that swept across my soul. The next time we get together for a family meeting, it won't be for a new baby. But the next time our family gets together, it's going to be because of the rapture. And you say, well, you don't know that to be true. I don't know the day or the hour. But the Lord said, when you see these things come about, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, it's happening, folks. Out there in that old world, they're doing everything that Jesus said they're going to do before the coming of the Lord. And it's intensified, and it's grown even greater in rejection of our wonderful Savior. As I've said so many times before, if you have Jesus, you have everything. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing. And you're going to miss out on all the greatness that God has in store for those who love Him. Now, we understand that those that have gone before us have already served the Lord, and they've done their work, and they did their part in carrying the gospel to Christ. And now, how many of you here this morning know Christ as your Savior? Okay, now it's our time to carry the cross. It's our time to project the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. It's our time to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage them to keep on keeping on. Because, you know, when the battle's over, we're going to wear a crown. We're going to have an everlasting joy. I was thinking about this message as we prepared this week and as the Holy Spirit moved on our heart, and I was thinking about what we're doing right now. What are we doing right now? The Bible's so full of the words now that it almost overwhelmed me when I began to study just that word now. And I thought to myself, as we looked at this, I thought to myself, this is really meant to be a Memorial Day sermon. And you say, but how can you see that? Well, you stay with me and I'm going to show you. First of all, we have justification now. I'm glad that my salvation is not an on-again, gone-again, Flanagan salvation. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You say, Brother Chick, that's the Apostle Paul preaching, but I believe the same thing he believed. I know that God has given me an eternal salvation. And I know that if God calls me home today, or if the rapture takes place today, I'm going to go be with him. You say, well, how do you know for sure? Because God said so. And he's the final authority. When he says something, that's the way it is. I remember when I was a young preacher, I heard a fellow say one time, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. And you know, young preachers, they have ears like rabbits. They pick up a lot of stuff that's not quite right, and that wasn't quite right. And so at the next state fellowship meeting, they asked me to preach, and I made that statement, and one of the old soldiers of the cross, one of the older preachers stood up and said, Brother Chick, that statement that you just made is not true. And I thought to myself, what did I just say? The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Listen to me this morning. When the Bible says it, whether you believe it or not, it's still true. And so the Bible says it, and that's the final authority. When God's Word says something, that's it. And when he said, I give unto you eternal life, and ye shall never perish, neither shall any man ever pluck you out of my hand, that's exactly what he meant. And we need to realize that. I like what the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 9 said, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. I don't have to worry about hell anymore. Of all the things since I've been saved, I was saved at the age of 9 years old, and I didn't get saved the first service that the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I kind of put it off. You know, that's dangerous. When God speaks to your heart, you ought to get saved. When you know that God's speaking to your heart, and there'd be nights that I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up and I'd think for a minute, well, if Jesus comes tonight, I'm not going. If I don't wake up in the morning and see the sun and I die, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to have to go to hell. And I remember about the third week after coming to the Bible Baptist Church here in Enid, I went into my mother and dad's bedroom in the middle of the night. And mother and dad had just been saved a couple of weeks. And you know how it is. You'll find this out, Trevor. When they get a little bit bigger and you're sound asleep and the kid moves into your room and they're standing right in front of your face and they're looking at you in your sleep and you wake up and there's the kid. What in the world does he want? And I was crying, and Dad said, what's the matter, son? And I was close to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm not saved. And Dad had just been saved a couple of weeks himself, and he said, well, let's just go call the preacher. And my mother said, no, let's don't bother Brother Scotty. Let's let him sleep. And you know what? When you need to get saved, you don't worry about the preacher's sleep time. What you worry about is getting him over there and show you how to be saved. And so I went back to bed, and mother and dad, you know, they caressed me and held me and said, it's going to be all right. And when the morning came, they said, well, we'll call the preacher now, and we'll have, oh, no, I'm going to be all right. But, you know, I couldn't hardly wait until the next Sunday. Boy, when that invitation was given, I stood back there, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And then our pastor said, this is the last verse we're going to sing. And I said, Lord, I told you, if they'd sing one more verse, I'd go and get saved. Brother, I don't remember coming from the back pew. That's where I sat. That's where all lost people sat. Hi, Mrs. Chick. And boy, I couldn't hardly wait. And I don't remember a thing when I left that pew. I don't remember anything going down that aisle or anything else until I hit these old-fashioned altars in that little old white store building over on the corner of 11th and Maple. And my knees hit that altar, and one of the greatest, sweetest Christians said, "Why did you come?" And I said, "I want to get saved." And brother, immediately he went to the Word of God and showed me how to be saved. And I got saved that morning. I walked out of that little church building and I walked across the street, and they took my old maple tree down over there. It used to be there this year because it finally died off, and I almost did. And I got over there, and I was a tough little squirt, and I didn't want anybody to see me crying, but my cup was full, and it was running over, and I couldn't help it. I was not crying because I was sorry I got saved. I was so happy that I got saved, and I didn't have to worry about hell anymore. And I stood over behind that big old maple tree, and that thing was a monster. And I stood behind that thing, and I wept for joy. Listen, if you're lost here this morning, the most important thing you have to do is let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Not next week or week after next, but to let Him come into your heart right now. I was preaching a meeting over in Eastern Oklahoma some years back, and I was about halfway through the sermon, and this old boy got up and started walking down the aisle, and I went to meet him, and I thought he was some kind of a fruitcake. You know, sometimes you run into those at church. Not all the fruitcakes are out there. I can't hardly get a sanctimonious grunt out of these people. And I went up and I met him about halfway back, and I said, What's wrong, sir?" He said, "I can't stand it any longer, preacher. I got to get saved right now." I said, "This is a good time." It's never too early to get saved. Now is the acceptable time. It's now. It's not a process of things that are going to happen, events that are going to happen in the future. It's right now. Jesus said, "Those that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast them out." There's the promise that He gave. And then secondly, I have the assurance of being His son. Trevor, I'm so glad that little boy looks like your wife. No, he looks like his daddy too. Somebody saw Randy the other day, and they said to me later when they saw me, they said, "Brother Chick." I said, "What is it?" It's one of the businessmen here in town. And he said, "Brother Chick," he said, "you don't have to wonder who that kid Randy belongs to. It looks just like his daddy." And I agree, we're both handsome. Yeah, we're both good looking. And I said, yes, sir, he's my son. I said, I've got two of them that I thank God for. Isn't God good? He loans us our kids, and we have the privilege of bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Some of you mothers and daddies, you're neglecting your children. You better stop that right now. You better start bringing them into the fold, and you better start teaching them the things of God, because you see, God's entrusted those babies and those children into your hands. Somebody said to me the other day, "Boy, these boys and girls, that their mama and daddy doesn't come to church." I said, "That's sad, but I said, we got mamas and daddies at church that love them. And they're going to be good to those kids and those bus workers and those Sunday school teachers. They're going to love them." Somebody said the other day, "Isn't it strange that you can't go down there and hug the kids, that a lot of them come up and hug your neck up here on the platform?" They're not allowed up here except when I can't come down there and hug them. I can ask those children, "Who loves you?" And you know what they'll say? "Jesus loves me. He loves me the most, Brother Chick." And I said, "Who loves you secondly?" "Brother Chick loves me secondly." Brother, I love those kids. I love those kids. You know why? Because some of them have never had the privilege of a bear hug from mama and daddy. They've never had a mama and daddy that ever told them that Jesus loves them, that he paid the price for their sins. Brother, we need to do some loving. Amen? Amen. Somebody told me last week, they said, you have the lovingest church that I've ever seen. Well, first of all, it's not my church. It belongs to the Lord. But I'm trying to teach our folks to love each other. Amen. And love visitors when they come. We don't want anybody to leave here thinking that we don't love your soul in heaven. That's why we have this church, and that's why this building's here, is because we want you to have the assurance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Assurance of sonship. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody asked me the other day, what did Jesus look like? I said, read the book of Revelation. Well, they said, well, that's a unique situation, brother. You tell me. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He always has been. He's ferocious looking to those that don't have him as Savior, but to us that have him as Savior, he's beautiful. He's comely. He's attractive. He's something that'll thrill our soul. And one of these days, I'm going to have the privilege of seeing him face to face. Oh, I have to look through the glass darkly right now, as old Paul said, but one day face to face, I'm going to see him. You say, how do you know, Brother Chick, that you have eternal life? Because God's word says so. When the old devil comes around, Christian, listen to me now. When the old devil comes around and you've been out of God's will a little bit and your faith has been a little bit too shallow, and the old devil comes along and says, how do you know you're saved? And you know, and the next thing you start doing is scratching your head and say, well, I'm not sure I know why I'm saved. Listen, if you did what God's word said to do and you did it from your heart, you don't have any sweat or worry to think about. Brother, Jesus is always going to do his part. And if you'll accept him as Savior, he's going to save you. And I don't care what old smutty face thinks he's going to be able to do. When you get placed in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, he folds his hand over you. Your soul's safe there. Then comes God the Father, and he puts his hand over the Son's hand. And then the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, he comes and he seals us until the day of redemption. I'm going to tell you something, old smutty face can't get in there. And I want to tell you something even more funny than that. And you can't get out of there. You might fall on the rock, but you ain't going to fall off of him if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, yeah. Now are we the sons of God. Right now, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. This old body might not be worth the plug nickel, but I'm a child of the King. I'm his and he's mine. Oh, there's a lot of times we go to prayer and we don't know how to pray. Sometimes as a pastor, people will come to me and say, Pastor, I've got something that I want you to pray about. And they tell me their heartache, and it's so knotted and it's so wound in and twisted. And they said, can you pray for me? And I always tell them, yes, I'll pray for you. And sometimes when I get on my knees praying about those situations, I just simply say, God, I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't even know how to help that poor sheep of yours. But God, I'm yours. And you're mine. And so, God, I just ask you just to take care of that situation. You know, it's amazing when you trust God how he unravels the biggest mess that ever was. Amen. Now, why does he do that? He does it because we're his children. Amen? We're his child. He's going to take care of us. I expect that you mamas and daddy's a member of the Bible Baptist Church, we expect you to take care of your children. And if I catch you not loving your children, I'm going to remind you that you better start loving them and you better start appreciating them. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus loves us now. Amen. Because we're his children. Oh, I hear this all the time. I just can't hardly wait to get to heaven. That's good. And just think of all the heavenly blessings we're going to have, preacher. That's good. But I'm telling you right now, I'm his kid right now, and he's about to drown me in blessings. They told me I wouldn't even be able to get behind the pulpit for 8 to 9 weeks. Ha! They don't know my heavenly Father. Somebody told me, said, well, I suspected you'd come back. I don't know whether there's complaining or rejoicing. But this is what God called me to do. This is my responsibility. This is Brother Terry's responsibility. This sacred desk and our responsibility is to let you know that when Jesus saves you, you'll know it. And you'll never fall from his hands. Oh, there's a whole lot more nows in the Word of God than what I've talked to you about this morning. You dear saved folk here this morning, you that are children of the King, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you thrilled that you belong to Him? That you never have to worry or beat us in despair to know He's there? And by the way, why trust God when you can worry? Huh? Yeah, you say, well, Brother Chick, you know, sometimes I... Yeah. Well, just go ahead and worry. I'll tell you, something would be a lot sweeter if you just say, okay, Lord, you need to take care of this because I sure can't do it. Amen? Yeah, he cares. Now for you here this morning that are without Jesus, would you open your ear to this preacher for a minute? Whether you know it or not, God loves you. You might be the biggest reprobate in the world. You might be the most biggest sinner that ever lived. But I've got some good news for you. God loves you in spite of your ungodliness. And he wants you in heaven and not in hell. And that's why he went to Calvary. Because he bears the sins of the world. Now this morning, lost friend, I want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Did you hear me? I want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to you because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's what Jesus wants to do today. For God, such a simple verse, but yet it has such a deep meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, to the lake of fire, but shall have everlasting life. Where, Brother Chick? In heaven